Chapter 3. Me Madinwi On, Rex / Satine. Satine and Rex had a standing dinner date scheduled for Sendak Day evenings. On other evenings, they might dine with other members of the court, or Rex's friends, or Satine's political staffers, or Corky and Lagos. But on Sendak Day, they always dined alone together. This, naturally, made it the logical time for the conversation that Rex had been planning for, quietly, for the last 3 weeks. It's our 4th-year anniversary next month. Satine set down her fork with a light ting of metal on ceramic. Kara, you're right. Counting from the ball, I trust. They still liked to dance, both in private and at balls, although some dances were best saved for privacy. Satine alleged that she was slowing down in her old age, but Rex had seen no evidence of this fact. Of course. She took a sip of her wine. And I assume you're bringing it up for a reason. Like marriage traditions on nearly every planet, Mandalorian marriage was designed with soulmates in mind. The words were there in the vows. Me Madinwi On, we will share all. But unlike all those other worlds, Mandalore believed that you had to fight to uphold your vows, that all bonds must be upheld and could be broken over a faithless party. They held to this tenet for children and parents, for married couples, and for soulmates. This meant that, in a sense, to be married for Mandalorians was to choose to be soulmates, to uphold the values of a soulmate relationship, regardless of whether the stars had deemed it appropriate for you to be bonded. The proposal was the same, whether you would be bonded by destiny or by choice. I would offer you my armor, should you choose to accept it. Much like Stujani marriage traditions, about which Rex had been forced to learn a great deal for Cody's sake, Mandalorian proposals began with an object being gifted, left for the recipient to choose to accept or reject. In Stujani tradition, where soulmates were the expected norm, it was to show the trust of losing a gold ring. It was about trust for Mandalorians as well, to give armor, something both valuable and guaranteeing safety, to someone. But here, where soulmates were not always the default, the exchange happened orally. Even if you were not soulmates, you could choose to offer, and they could choose to accept. Even if the offer was traditional, the armor was not. Instead of a pauldron or any other piece of Beskar, Rex brought forward the blue tie that went with his ex-Gar dress uniform. In Satine's line of work, the one he hoped to marry into, a simple piece of fabric often provided more protection than any Beskar could have. He laid the tie out on the table between them and drew his hands back. "You don't have to accept," Rex assured her, suddenly caught by his own nervousness. Jalia had assured him several times that this was a good idea, but Jalia could hardly be trusted on such things. "I understand that Mandalore has to come first and I'm not an ideal consort for Mandalore, but if you wanted to just say the words for us and not have Mandalore any the wiser..." She'd picked up the tie. Her blouse didn't have a collar and sloped down her shoulders in such a way that made tying a tie in any way other than directly around her neck nearly impossible. But she did so anyways, tying a loose knot at the base of her throat. With a more traditional gift, he would have expected her to swap out her pauldron for his, but this surely meant the same thing. If there were any doubt left in his mind, it was erased when Satine took the necklace she'd unclasped as she tied the tie and extended it to Rex. The emerald pendant, a gift from Jalia and Gwenya, glittered as it twisted in the air. "I accept your armor," she said, "and offer mine in kind. On one condition." Rex's hand was already extended before he asked, "What is it?" "You have to take my name." Ahsoka and Anakin had been joking for years about what, if anything, Rex should put down as his last name on official paperwork. He'd been filling it out with Jin out of sheer spite and bullheadedness. "Of course," Rex agreed, and Satine dropped the emerald into his waiting hand. Once, years earlier, Satine had been the first person to hear about Obi-Wan and Cody's impending nuptials. even before the groom, in fact. But she couldn't return the favor. After she and Rex were finished their private celebrations and were fit for polite company, the collections of clocks in Satine's office informed her that the local time in Ye Maria was 0400 hours. Mandalore and Ye Maria had different day lengths, and the result was that, for some periods, the two planets were on opposite cycles. Satine loved Obi-Wan enough not to wake him up with news that he'd be just as happy to hear in the morning. On Mandalore, on the other hand, the local time was 22:10, and Satine knew her sister would still be awake. Bo-Katan opened her door to the both of them, wearing a nightdress, carrying a blaster, and scowling. Seeing them, she slapped the blaster down on the table with a grunt. "Is one of you dying? I'm busy." Satine wasn't sure she wanted to know what busy entailed. Too busy to hear that your sister is getting married. That wiped the scowl clean off her face. She looked from Rex to Satine and back, a grin growing by the second. "Which one of you worked up the nerve to finally ask?" Rex raised his hand and gave a single wave. "I had the impudence to ask the Mandalore myself." Like Bo, he mostly used the title to tease her. "And I accepted in spite of his impudence. Say hello to the future Rex Kreez, Duke Consort." Bo-Katan was very rarely sincere with anyone, and certainly not with anyone other than Satine. She preferred to bury her emotions beneath layers of anger, sarcasm, and righteousness. Bo reached out and, in spite of her state of undress, pulled Rex and Satine both into a fierce hug, an arm around each of them. Her nightgown was silk, smooth to Satine's touch. Bo's hand fisted in the back of her shirt. To Satine's ear, she hissed, "Well done." It was the oddest thing. Bo-Katan had given up everything to be here with Satine, including her soulmate, who was apparently an even more fanatical believer in Mandalore's military tradition than Bo herself had been. But in spite of that, she shared in Satine's happiness. This, as much as what she shared with Rex, was the greatest gift Satine could have asked for. "Thank you." "Don't thank me. It's about time we had someone else in this family who actually wears armor." And that was more like what Satine had expected to hear. Rex, in a tone of amusement, told her, "I love you too, Bo." He'd left Satine with Bo-Katan to have some privacy. He loved Bo like a sister, even though they wouldn't be officially family for some time yet, but he also knew that her relationship with Satine was something not quite like anything he'd ever had. Rex had many siblings, but he'd never had to fight and compromise to have a relationship with them in the same way Satine and Bo-Katan had. There were enough of them that Rex could pick and choose to have relationships with the ones he liked. Leaving them be, he went back to check the clock collection and learned that it was late afternoon in Talarma, 1700 hours. By now, Jalia, who'd been running an hour-long study help session after work, would be off. Knowing her, probably still in the office. Her priorities were very clearly ordered as Gwenya, her students, Rex, and her books. Only Gwenya could ever succeed in prying her away when there was work to be done. Rex decided to try his luck anyways. As he'd suspected, Jalia answered the call sitting in her straight-backed office chair, hair still pinned up and cardigan hanging loose around her shoulders.
"Rex?"
She checked her pocket watch, looking at the equivalent of the wall clock Rex had checked.
"It's midnight there. Are you all right?"
He held up the pendant around his neck, although she couldn't possibly have known the significance. "Better than all right, Jay." She gasped audibly and clasped her hands together in delight.
"You asked? Did you do anything special?"
Maybe he should have made up a romantic story to avoid disappointing her. It was our regular date night, same as any other week. Satine isn't big on sweeping gestures, especially when they're surprises. I just wanted to ask her. Just us. For us. That's how Mandalorian marriages are supposed to be. The oath is for you and no one else. To his surprise, this didn't meet with her disapproval at all. Instead, she nodded.
"That's the thing. I like stories to end in a wedding. I think everyone likes that. But a marriage, It doesn't end at a wedding, it starts there. The wedding can be for other people, but the marriage itself, that's for you and the people you choose to share it with. Families, children, friends.
Soulmates. Jalia smiled, joy reaching her eyes.
That too.
So you don't think I needed to do more?
In absence of other context.
She shrugged and answered her rhetorical question.
But knowing you and knowing as much as I do of Satine, you'll be living a lot of your lives in theatrical ways for public consumption. I think you owe it to yourselves to have pieces that are just for you. I married nobility too, remember? I know that.
For all Gwenya professed to be of minor importance, the young Countess Kathia seemed to rely on her, and people had taken notice. It was difficult for both of them, and it was fortunate that on Sereno, you could easily go only by your personal name and title, without any mention of family. It was likely only this fact that allowed Jalia relative anonymity in her work. Sometimes I'm very glad that you're in this with me.
What else are soulmates for?
She leaned forward slightly, propping her elbows on her desk.
On Mandalore, are living soulmates required to approve their soulmates' marriages?
That sounded nightmarish. No, on Sereno.
Let's just say it was a good thing that you weren't born yet when I met Gwenya, or we would have had to wait a very long time to legally marry.
Sometimes Rex was fiercely glad to be Mandalorian, even if his own identity and relationship to it was sometimes hellishly complicated. I'm sorry. She shook her head.
Don't be. I just wanted to say, needed or not, you always have my backing. 100%. Gwen's too.
Sometimes the universe wasn't fair. It hadn't been to Ahsoka. Sometimes it made mistakes. Rex thought it had with Satine, who was bonded to so many people more deeply than she had been to her alleged soulmate. But it had been unreasonably good to Rex, to give him both love, found without any tangible aid, and a soulmate, who'd been brought to him across the boundaries of an entire war. And you have mine, always. Satine couldn't sleep that night. Not for long, anyways. She woke up early, too early even to train with Beau, and wired. It wasn't nervousness, anxiety, or regret. Instead, it was anticipation, hope. She had a future laid out in front of her that she wanted desperately, a path that she would share with someone who she most sincerely loved. With many someones, even. One thing Satine had always cherished about her relationship with Rex was that they were part of a family, with Bo-Katan and Ahsoka and Corki, with Jalia and Gwenya, with Obi-Wan and Cody and the Skywalkers. They'd built a family as they built a relationship, and this marriage was the cementing of that, it seemed to her. Rex was still asleep, peaceful as a prince in an Alderaanian fairy tale, when Satine gave in to her enthusiasm and anxiety and called Ye Maria. Cody would still be at work at this time of day, so Rex would have the chance to break the news when he woke up.
My dear?
Obi-Wan asked. He answered, seated at his desk, a cup of tea in hand. Lately, he'd been working on some policy proposals for the Jedi, something about a reformed approach to how they identified initiates. I'm getting married.
Congratulations,
he said, most sincerely, and a beat later.
Who wins the bet?
When you all end up betting, the only person who ever really wins is Quinlan. He brings you all down to his level. Obi-Wan laughed, a warm sound that reminded her of younger but worse days.
True enough.
Ahsoka arrived 4 days before the wedding, directly from Tatooine, apparently. There's still dust in my montrals, she complained, as she pulled out of Rex's embrace. What were you even doing on Tatooine? She waved off his concern. Nothing bad, good things. You fill me with confidence. I was visiting Anakin's stepbrother. Rex gave her a look. I know, he didn't tell me he had more family until like a month ago. Apparently, his stepbrother ended up adopting a kid he thinks might be Force-sensitive. The temple doesn't search out there, and even if they did, the kid's already 5. That's how Anakin got missed for so long. He managed to get in touch with Sky Guy, and I was in the area, so I dropped by. And? Are they? Yes, but not temple level. She'd be in the core or back with her family in a few years. She doesn't want to go anyways, so that's probably for the best. I've agreed to swing by every few months and give her some basic lessons and exercises. Anakin's going to hate you being on Tatooine that much. Ahsoka slung an arm around Rex's shoulder. She was taller than him now, which was a perpetually odd sensation. In his mind, some part of her would always be that teenager too young for war. You worry too much. Don't use worrying about me to distract from worrying about your wedding. She knew him too well. What do you suggest I do instead? Her arm around his shoulder squeezed tight. Let us do all the worrying from here. When Corky, Lagos, and I are done, all you and Satine are going to have to do is show up. Amazingly, it was nearly true. The three of them took over the last few days of panicked organizing with remarkable gusto, welcoming guests from across the galaxy, shepherding Satine's subjects, and directing all the various wedding staff. A proper Mandalorian wedding didn't need to be observed by anyone, and so Satine's people didn't begrudge her a private ceremony. It was nothing like the royal wedding they'd attended on Alderaan. Instead, it was just a small group who actually observed the vows. Bo-Katan, Corky, and Lagos, Cody and Obi-Wan, Anakin, Padme, Luke and Leia, Ahsoka, Jalia and Gwenya, Kix, Jesse, and the other half-dozen 501st members who'd been able to come. They all dressed in their nicest clothes, and then, finally, Rex and Satine stood up in front of their family and said the words. Then she kissed him, and Ahsoka wolf whistled at them. In short, it was perfect. And then, when they were done, Bo ushered them out onto the steps of the palace to present themselves, hands joined, to the crowds. Voice loud as those who knew public speaking well could achieve, Satine called, "I give you Rex Kreese, Duke Consort of Mandalore." Amid the cheering, the flashing cameras, and the terrifying gaze of thousands, her hand never strayed from his. The party after the wedding had nothing of the intimacy of the ceremony itself, but there were still advantages. Even though it was still a party filled with nobility and courtiers, none of them were entitled to her attention tonight. She danced with Rex twice, followed by Bo-Katan, Corky, and then Obi-Wan. She'd forgotten that Obi-Wan was a good dancer, and he whirled her around the dance floor until she felt almost dizzy before delivering her, laughing, back into Rex's arms. After another turn with him, she danced with an amateurish but enthusiastic Cody. Then she took a couple political turns with the governor of Kaldabi and Ursa Wren before the exhaustion of the day finally caught up with her. Wren politely bowed out, half an eye already on her daughter, who was sitting at a children's table with the Skywalker twins and the younger Organas under Anakin and Ahsoka's watchful eyes. There was so much noise here, so many people, both familiar and, in the case of some of Rex's brothers and some partners of the political guests, unknown. There was joy here, not just the joy of her newly minted marriage, but the joy of a community in celebration. It was a great deal like what Satine had imagined getting married would be like back when she'd been young enough to idly fantasize about getting married. Only, when she'd been that young, she'd only ever fantasized about one person. Later fantasies about marrying Obi-Wan had been nothing like this. In them, she'd always envisioned that they might run away from all their respective duties and just be. When she'd imagined being married as Duchess, having someone to share this tremendous responsibility with, she had always, always pictured Ty. Something in her throat closed. "Are you all right?" Bo asked. Satine had managed to drift back to the head of the table, where Bo-Katan and Rex were sitting together, resting and observing. "I just need a minute," Satine told them both. "Ideally, I'd go outside, but..." She both wanted to be alone and, especially when she remembered Ty, feared going off alone. Bo raised her comlink, embedded in the Vambrace still on her wrist. Message me every 5 minutes or I'll come looking. Sound good? She knew her too well. Rex did too. He reached across the table and squeezed Satine's hand, only once. It's a bit overwhelming, huh? At her slight smile, he added, I'm going to go return this to Jalia, but message me if you want company. He reached down to the table between Hem and Bo-Katan and picked up one of the drink chits that had been given to every guest on their way in. We can also leave anytime you'd like. It's our wedding, after all. We get to decide what we actually want it to be. I'll tell you if I need anything, and Bo, I'll tell you if I don't. They both nodded in agreement and let her have her space. Satine slipped out of the great hall onto a balcony. There were a handful of people out here, Gwenya, for one, deep in conversation with the ladies Pretores. But Satine knew the palace better than any of them, and quickly slipped down an old servant's staircase to a second balcony below the first. It was smaller, but, as she'd predicted, entirely empty. The perfect place to stand and contemplate the fact that, somehow, she'd reached the point in her life where she didn't even miss the future she'd imagined with Ty. No, actually. Her eyes caught a glimmer of gold, and she watched with some shock as a figure wearing Beskar, complete with a gold helmet, stepped from the shadows. In one hand, they held an incongruously cheery sunset-colored drink, with a straw and a little umbrella. They must have been the spouse or partner of one of the ex-Deathwatch nobles. Satine almost would have thought this were an assassination attempt, if not for the little umbrella and the way the figure started back when they saw her. If this was a murder, it was an inept one. Alor. They tilted their head in greeting. Theird, I hadn't expected to find anyone here. Satine couldn't perfectly read expressions in helmets, not the way she knew Rex could, having grown up with it, or Bo could, from her years in Deathwatch. But it didn't take an expert to read concern in that tilt of the head. And I had not expected to see you away from the party at your own wedding. Are you all right? Maybe it was the anonymity of the mask that made her say, Of course, but sometimes you are surprised that your life is not what you intended as a child. They nodded, seemingly in understanding, and leaned out over the balustrade, looking away from Satine. Very often, especially of late.
All fine, lower balcony,
Satine typed out to Bo. Aloud, she said, Soulmate. They started slightly. We had philosophical differences. I haven't seen her in many years. Might I ask a personal question? There was something philosophical about being tipsy, overwhelmed, and talking to a stranger. Satine crossed her arms on the balustrade and gave permission. How did you choose this life over your soulmate? It was as if the question she'd asked herself that night, the one that had sent her down here, had been given physical form. I didn't choose. My soulmate chose for me. All I did was decide that I valued my own life, my own right to be treated well, more than I loved him. The loving other people, loving Mandalore, that came later. Perhaps possessed by the same philosophical feeling that had driven Satine to speak, they said, I didn't choose either, but lately I think, perhaps I was in the wrong. Perhaps I drove her away. My situation was very different from yours, and I think it is very possible that I made the choice without realizing I'd done so. Satine burned with questions, but thought it would have ruined the rather sacred moment to pry. As a stranger, rather than as your duchess, do you regret the choice you think you made? Do you? She was surprised by how easy the answer came to her. No. To the extent that I chose anything, no. I can think of a thousand things I would rather have than a second chance with my soulmate. They leaned further over the railing, and Satine was both relieved and a little concerned to realize that they had a jetpack built into their armor. At least falling wasn't a risk. I used to think there were things I valued more than that, but now I think, perhaps I was wrong. There was the sound of pounding feet suddenly overhead, and the masked stranger turned to Satine. From their pocket, they pulled an invitation to the wedding and handed it to her. I think this belongs to Bo-Katan, they said, and, placing their drink carefully on the floor, they leapt clear over the balcony and shot into the night. Just a half second later, Bo-Katan, Rex, and Anakin Skywalker appeared. Bo still had that drinks chit that must not have belonged to Jalia after all, clutched between her fingers. Do you want me to go after her? Anakin asked, eyes carefully focused on the trail that was fading away into the artificial sky. Satine handed the invitation to Bo-Katan. I don't think I was the person she was here to see. That makes the decision yours. Anakin looked at her expectantly. Bo clutched the paper fiercely in her hand. If she means it, she'll be back. Do you want her to be? He asked, clearly and amusingly prepared to chase Bo-Katan's soulmate down and give her a talking to if necessary. Satine found she rather liked the person Anakin Skywalker had evolved into. Bo shrugged. I guess we'll have to see. She sounded hopeful, if cautious. It was a strange emotion to hear from her. Let me know if you want someone to break her kneecaps, Rex offered, which was typical of their relationship. She snorted with amusement. I'd like to see you try. They had one final dance before retreating back to their rooms and the privacy that entailed. It wouldn't have been them not to have one. Something about her confrontation with Bo-Katan's mysterious soulmate seemed to have removed much of Satine's anxiety, and when she stepped into first position, it was with all the regal power that befitted the Mandalore. Rex hadn't loved dancing the way Satine loved it at first, but now it seemed almost emblematic of their relationship. It worked because, in spite of their different strengths and experiences, they were profoundly equal. They respected and trusted each other. Rex would never have her grace, her instinctual familiarity, with every possible movement founded on decades of dance. Satine would never have his physical strength, his half-blind confidence in his own ability to keep up with her. But it didn't matter. The dances they made together were far beyond anything they could have done alone. When he told her this in the turbo lift on the way back to their room, she pressed him against the wall to kiss him and accidentally bumped into all the buttons so that they stopped on every floor. End of chapter 3.